you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome.
Yeah.
What's up?
What is up?
How was your weekend, George?
Pretty fucking cool.
Oh, really?
I'm living a pretty cool life right now.
Oh. Really? Are you being sarcastic? Well, I can't tell.
What's going on. I mean, yeah, I know it always seems like I'm being sarcastic when I say anything is positive.
Right.
No, you know, our friends, Angie's good friend, is DJing at FYF. And we got tickets to VIP tickets to hang out at this festival. And I felt like a middle-aged man, and that was appropriate.
Yeah.
That was what I was. That's what I am.
That's your script
and
right now.
That's all the bands that I wanted to see
right.
were bands from the 90s.
Everybody was sitting down, behaving themselves?
They were not sitting down.
Oh, okay.
But I did see Sleep on Saturday night. And there was a lot of smoke and a lot of secondhand, like there was a lot of fog machine and weed smoke.
Oh, okay. Nice.
As to be expected.
Yeah.
At a Sleep concert. First time seeing Sleep.
I'm not familiar with this band.
They played for a very long time, as would be expected.
Right.
The band that is known for having a 52-minute song played for a while.
Jesus. I'm not familiar with their work.
Stoner metal, classic San Jose.
Oh, nice.
Stoner metal, members of Ohm. You may know Ohm.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Ohm before, but I'd never seen this. So just like Matt Pike from High on Fire on guitar.
Oh.
With I counted 7 Marshall stacks.
Jesus.
Marshall cabs and a bunch of Orange amps. And then like the bass player had like 4 giant like refrigerator like Ampeg amps.
Wow.
So, yeah. I also saw other things that were like, okay, like this is all generally like a festival for people my age, because A Tribe Called Quest performed, and Missy Elliott,
what,
first show in 10 years in America, her first show in a decade in America. Yeah, we were really tired when she was on, though, so we did not make it through
all
of Missy Elliott, but
you are middle-aged.
Yeah, this is the lesson. Also, yeah, I was like gonna complain about it for like how long the line was to get our passes, but then I'm like, we are not paying for this.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
fine.
Absolutely, and you know, I had a good weekend.
Yeah,
I went to Knoxville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get to go to the Pilot Light?
No, never. No,
you never went, because that's the place that my friend used to run.
No, it was on the top of our list for many weeks of like the place we were going to go and spend a lot of time at. And of course, because of the, you know, one of the worst weekends I've had in a while, we did not get there. No. But
yeah, sounds like a story for perhaps Patreon or perhaps
yes,
your stand-up.
If you want to hear more, check out our Patreon page. But yeah.
Come see Paco perform.
I will fill it. There's going to be people who are really confused, but let me just drop this real quick. I've been talking to this lady, this girl, this woman online for months. It was very sweet, because I found out my ex, a fiance, after 2 years got married. She's married. I've been on 2 dates. She got married. And then this girl that I'm talking about hit me up and was just like, I've been through a lot of that crap myself. If you want to talk, I'm here to talk. And we've just been talking every day. We talked every day many times since February or March. So I went to visit her in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was not good. Not good in not like we didn't get along, but mostly when I showed up, she kind of acted like I was her dad at her first weekend of college. And I felt like I was really embarrassing her at most bars. And she acted like she really didn't want me there. And then for 2 of the 4 days, I didn't see her. So yes. I got to see one of the worst movies in a while. Yes, I got to see Dunkirk. It's so bad.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. It's so bad. Yeah, but it was lovely in Knoxville. It was like 105, 107 degrees with 90% humidity. So that was fun.
Well, if my friend still worked at the Pilot Light, I'm sure you could have
gotten.
Oh, she does not anymore.
Got it. Yeah, there was chance of doing comedy, the Pilot Light, which didn't happen either. Just lovely. But thankfully, it was a very expensive trip, so there's that.
That's like Jim Tooze from New York.
You know
that comic from Ohio? Yeah, he's got a bit about like New York. He's like, New York, it's unfriendly,
but
also expensive.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's too bad. Your weekend was rough. But, hey, you know what we're doing? We're like you're spreading
SupDoc
all
around
America.
Don't touch that, America. It's got SupDoc on it.
You can, like, go do some viral marketing in a bar. Just talk to strangers. Like,
in
general? What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, I have a podcast about
documentaries. Yes, we do, George. So, and it's good. We have a good podcast, and it's about documentaries.
Look, there's like maybe eight podcasts about documentaries. Ours is
maybe the top in the top three.
The most fun.
Oh, it's definitely the most fun.
Yeah, it's top three most fun. Interesting guests.
Pure nonfiction. How do they stay in the news and noteworthy on iTunes?
Now I've listened to the show, and if you've, I would say, hey, you know what? If you like our show, maybe you'll like that show. It's Canadian.
Oh, he's Canadian.
They have government funding for everything.
Oh, that's what it is.
Including their podcasts, including the CBC. Tom Powers is the host, and I believe he is also maybe the head of the Toronto Film Festival. So he is like interviewing, like he interviewed like Jonathan Demme. He interviewed Herzog. He's getting like primo director interviews.
Yeah.
Okay, here's where we add value. We are not journalists.
No, we're not.
We are not knowledgeable or do research.
Not
we
smart.
Just find the layperson's angle to documentaries. I wouldn't take anything away from pure nonfiction. It is good for the type of journalism that it's doing. We're not doing journalism.
I barely get out of bed before we do our interviews sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, it's more like I wouldn't take anything away from that show, but it is drier.
Ours rocks.
But, you know, check it out. Yeah. I mean, you know, compare, contrast. I'd love you to listen to both. And, you know, if you listen to us, you probably keep listening to us.
Right.
That's what I'd say.
What's your favorite podcast?
Wow. You know, traditionally, I was a big, I used to listen to Doug Loves Movies all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't in years.
Right.
I went to the live taping during Sketchfest. That was pretty fun.
Oh, that's cool.
But,
yeah.
New podcasts that I'm liking. I think I've mentioned like I've been listening to Pod Save America.
Oh, right.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then I have friends that are really into this podcast called What Happened to Pizza at McDonald's.
What?
Which is kind of like, okay, so What Happened to Pizza at McDonald's is kind of like a parody of a very serious investigative journalism podcast.
Oh, funny.
So it is, I guess it is literally, there was pizza at McDonald's at one point. And so it's like a guy who like the last episode was like 5 minutes long. And it was like a guy being like talking about the feedback he was getting about the podcast. And it's like it's very, very dry humor.
Got it.
Yeah. Like if you just want to hear like the sort of self-seriousness of an NPR type person, but like with that really like monotone, like whatever happened to pizza at McDonald's,
that's
basically. So it's such a weird format of a show.
Right.
And I can't think of another show quite like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that definitely qualifies because I feel like there's just like a lot of the genres of podcasts are kind of like, there's a lot that's like us. There's just like, hey, we're two idiots.
Right.
Let's chop it up. You know, depending on what kind of idiot it is, I might be into it or not. I mean,
it's all it comes down to personality for me. Because usually I'm in my car by myself or I have it on some headphones and I'm cleaning or something. It's like, do I want to be in the same room with this person for the next hour? you know, whomever is talking.
Yeah. And you know what? We don't even have to be in the same room with each other. We're not right now.
We're not even the...
As might have been evidenced on last episode.
In the same city.
We had time shifting, yeah. But you know what? Our last real episode, we were all in the same room. Let's talk about that.
You, me, and the Howard.
Yeah, Howard Kremer. And we were here in L.A. And we talked about Muscle Shoals.
That was a good
And that was the last episode. That was 64.
Yeah, episode 64.
When I'm 64. When I'm, will you still listen to this podcast?
Probably.
When I'm 64.
Yeah.
Well, you did. Well, hopefully
that's crazy. When are we going to hit 100 in like another year?
Okay, so if we start numbering these episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. We've gotten more than 64 episodes if we're counting
episodes. Which they are episodes.
So, yeah, I mean, they don't have a number. They're just like, I guess we haven't conceptually rounded out. A what's up is just like exactly what you're hearing. Just two idiots chopping it up.
That's bad.
Pretty much just, that. But yeah, no, Howard Kremer episode, that was fun. Definitely.
Yeah. He was awesome.
And
it was hot, though. It
was
hot.
A hot time. Yeah, it was early.
It was a hot day.
Was that early July? I don't remember when that was.
And yeah, it was. It was actually late June.
When you were down here. And we banked a bunch of episodes.
Yep.
We haven't announced all of them because that would be untoward. We've got them.
I don't think it's
untoward.
Yeah,
we got them in the can.
We've got them. We just don't have dates yet for them, but we had some great guests.
Yeah.
Baron. I mean,
Baron Vaughn said was Aaron. Awesome. I was confused by what you meant. Yeah, Baron.
Aaron Sorkin. We talked to Aaron Sorkin, which is cool. We
Baron
did a walk and talk.
Baron Vaughn. Well, we can talk about, why don't we announce the next two, because I'm okay with
that. Yeah, let's do it.
So,
okay.
Next week, and I said next week.
You did.
I think I said
it's very French of you.
Next week, we got Alan Strickland Williams in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And very funny comedian.
Very funny.
Stan Conan.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Florida. Can only assume you're cheering because you're not there. Florida, a lot of people don't really understand what Florida's like. People that have been there know that it's kind of a crazy place, but a lot of people think it's just like a big beach, you know? And I have this analogy I like to use to explain what Florida's really like. If America is the Walmart, then Florida is the McDonald's inside the Walmart. That's what's up with Florida. It's always something off about the McDonald's, you know? It's like a meth deal going down by the sodas. Someone's got a gun for no reason. If I could have dinner with any person, living or dead, I think I'd choose Dick Cheney. And I want him to be dead.
Yeah. He always looks nice.
Put together. A put together man.
Very well put together. Yeah, dapper.
Even as he came over, I'm like, well, Alan is not wearing a sport coat because it's a very hot day. But he kind of had his like Florida wear on, I think. I think we have a session photo.
Yeah.
It's very very Florida
casual
looking. So yeah. Alan wanted to talk about Best of Enemies, which is a documentary about Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley.
Yeah.
Having their very public debates.
Someone is playing Gore Vidal in a movie. Is it Kevin Spacey? I think Kevin Spacey is playing Gore Vidal.
I could see that.
In an upcoming movie.
I could see that. Who would you cast as William Buckley?
Oh, who
He's
would
got
I
a
cast?
Tough, like, I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to say like in this day and age. In the 80s, I maybe would have said Daniel Craig. Not Daniel Craig.
Oh,
that's the James Bond guy. Who's the guy who's Knight Rider?
David Hasselhoff?
No. The voice of Knight Rider. He was also Magnum P.I.'s like...
Oh, right. Dude. Yeah, Higgy Baby.
Yeah, the guy who's kind of like... He has that Frasier kind of voice, right?
Right.
American...
Well, David Hyde Pierce. David Hyde Pierce could do it.
I can't see him as a... Oh, yeah, I could see him as Buckley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could.
You know
he
who
could
maybe Bemberback Pepperbatch. Kangerbatch. Camerback Bemberdapch.
Yeah, he's... I don't see him as either of those guys.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
But
Patch. What's his name?
Yeah, I'm. You know, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh,
that's what you meant, right?
No.
No, Cumberbatch. I know Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah,
exactly.
But Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis, he would inhabit the role. He would really sock you till your whatever he said, sock your face off or whatever. but that's a very fascinating documentary, Best of Enemies. Watch it. It's on Netflix.
Well, let's tell them a little bit what it is.
Yeah. Gore Vidal, famous left-wing novelist, intellectual.
Yep.
And William F. Buckley, kind of the what did you say, godfather of the conservative movement?
Maybe the patron saint.
He definitely was a huge influence on Reagan.
Yeah, big influence.
And yeah, big influence. Was he National Review?
Yeah, editor of National Review.
So
with a kind of a fake mid-Atlantic accent.
Yeah,
whatever.
Very, really clenched.
Very clenched man. Yeah. Yeah. But so they had they famously had debates around the presidential nominations in '68.
Yeah. The Republican convention and the Democratic convention. And ABC was just like, we got to do something because we are not getting good interviews.
ABC sucked at the time. Together. Right.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they threw that on. Yeah. They show ABC built these faux studios and they collapsed at one point.
You see a young Sam Donaldson, wets your whistle.
Yeah, if that does wet.
Someone's whistle might get wet.
I'm sure maybe Mrs. Donaldson's whistle. But other than that,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a great doc. We had a great talk. Alan's very funny, very smart guy. Yeah.
So that's coming up next week. Mm-hmm. And then we did also talk to Baron Vaughn, who you may know from Grace and Frankie.
Sure.
More recently, Mystery Science Theater 3000, the new Netflix reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he made a documentary about searching for the father that he never knew. And we talked to him about that process.
Yeah, we did.
And some other stuff going on in his life and just more background.
Yeah.
Because that thing, that Fatherless is on Amazon Prime. And I think it was originally, was it True TV? I'm blanking.
Something like that. Yeah.
Is. Yeah. Fuse maybe. Yeah. And so now you can find it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, Fatherless.
I was really digging through Amazon Prime for a little bit because I signed up for that monthly. Freebie.
Yep.
Code.
So I actually signed up for the monthly freebie and now I've kept it because I've been digging it. Because they've got a lot of good stuff on Amazon.
The movie's not so good.
I watched their original programming, a lot of their docs and stuff. I've been checking out.
Oh. Okay, so I know we could talk more about Baron, but you're going to hear that episode in a couple weeks. But the one thing that did come out of Amazon Prime, we could talk about it real fast. I know this is not giving away anything, hopefully, is I started watching The Secret. You love The Secret.
Right.
I think this maybe got cut out of last episode.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
But I really want to do
The Secret
for our live show. Let's say...
Oh, for assuming, the live show.
Yeah, assuming we get into a festival.
That's a tough one, don't you think?
A comedy festival. We wouldn't watch the whole thing. We'd just do clips.
Oh, right.
I got some ideas about it, which I don't want to... We've talked about in the Slack.
Yeah.
But we don't need to get into all those ideas. But I think some of these ideas would be fun. I think it's we make our vision boards, we share them.
Right.
Stuff like that would be fun. So, The Secret.
Well, we should do it, the vision board, the month before the event and then talk about what's happened.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. Well, I want a mansion, so.
Yeah.
Let's get that.
I've never done the vision
intention.
Board. Yeah.
I have. Yeah.
Mine is better ratings for this podcast.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. But what would you cut out of a magazine to represent that?
Oh, geez. Just a chart with an arrow going
arrow
up.
Going up with dollar
generic
signs.
Generic arrows going up.
Yeah. And diamonds falling from the arrow.
Well, this is a problem. This is a problem with our mentality, man. Magazines. What did you do for a vision board before magazines? That's what hieroglyphics were.
Right. Yep. Pretty much. I don't know if they had vision boards before magazines.
Yeah, you know? But The Secret's been around for millennia.
It's been around. Yeah, I mean, there was a genie. in the doc, there is a genie. So.
Oh, God, yeah. The genie talking to, a guy who looks maybe Thai who's a Filipino, who's like, I'm like, is this supposed to be the Middle East? I don't understand what's happening. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in The Secret. A lot of weirdos in that, that show.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, I think we did talk. Okay, so The Secret, talked about that.
Yep.
Talked about your weekend. We talked about my weekend.
Yep, good weekend.
Any good docs?
I am right now watching, it's called Last Chance U on Netflix, which is a doco series of football players who get kicked out of Division I schools. They go to this tiny junior college for a last chance to maybe get picked back up to right the wrongs. And I love sports and I love football and I like sports documentaries. Is it a documentary? I'm not sure, but, I watch so many docs, sometimes I forget even what I've been watching. I don't know if I've watched a doc recently, though, other than this one. How about you?
I don't really watch a lot of reality TV. It sounds like that falls under reality TV, maybe
But it's shot in a documentary style, though, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I would still count it as a form of documentary.
Well, I watched The Keepers. I think we talked about that last time, though.
We did talk about that last time, yeah.
I did watch The Keepers.
Which I haven't gotten
to. It's all right.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to
it. It's all right.
Yeah. I started watching. Okay, there's some I started watching on Amazon Prime, and I just gave up right away. Mm. I started watching The Red Pill.
Yes. Yeah.
The men's rights activist one.
Yeah.
Did you get through that?
No.
I could not get. I got about 20 minutes in. I'm just like, what is going on here?
I did watch What the Health, actually, like 2 days ago.
A lot of people have been talking about that.
It's not good.
Yeah.
But he is from San Francisco. The guy's from San Francisco. It looks like maybe he lives in the outer Richmond or something. And because he has like a nice place with hardwood floors and it's like a one bedroom. So he must live in the outer Richmond. But it's.
I got like weirdly like aroused by like
just the description.
Hardwood floors.
Yeah.
Outer Richmond. Hardwood
we
floors.
Are in our 40s. That's what gets us off nowadays.
Definitely, like looking at Zillow gets me off.
But it's like, you know, man. It's like, can I eat eggs? I don't know anymore. What can I eat? What can I eat? I just don't get it. It seems like everything's bad for
you.
Did
you watch Okja?
No, I haven't seen Okja.
Yo, watch Okja.
Yeah, okay.
So
I've
good.
Heard. It's. I've been saving it because now, you know, Game of Thrones is on. I was watching Transparent. Now I'm watching Last Chance U. Now I'm watching Handmaid's Tale. So it's like a lot of things are going on.
What do you think of Handmaid's Tale?
I like it and I don't. Like, I like it when I finally settle in and I watch it, but I'm not compelled to. It doesn't compel me like Breaking Bad or any of those great TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not like, oh, come on, I can't wait to watch the next one. I'm like, okay, I find it to be all right. But
I'm only
3 episodes in the first season. So,
how do you feel about the world building that they do, though? Because I feel like that is that is what they are doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's different from something like Breaking Bad obviously has world building also.
Yeah.
But it's not quite as like, you know, it's not existing in a speculative fiction dystopia.
Right. I like it. I like dystopia stuff. I like futuristic dystopia stuff. I find the acting to be kind of over the top, a little too hammy for me, ham-fisted, if you will. And the relationships, I don't know. I'm only 3 episodes in. I'm sure it gets cooking, but Right now, I'm just not compelled to watch it, that, you know, as much.
Oh, man, I think it's, like, one of the better shows that's come out in the last few
years.
That's
what a lot of people have said, and I mean, I watched three episodes on the plane ride back from my trip from hell, my lost weekend, if you will, my lost weekend video. But, and you know, it was great to watch on the plane. I didn't know enough about it, and I'm like, is there going to be nudity? And I had these two, like, maybe 8 and 9-year-old Asian kids sitting next to me. They were from Singapore, which, by the way, they didn't play any games. They did math problems together almost the entire ride. And they were like, look at my equation. And she was like, oh, that's stupid. Look at my equation. And he's like, I can solve it. Like, oh, my God. That's why America is going down the fucking shitter right there.
Well, Singapore is closer to Handmaid's Tale than we are.
Is it? Have you been to Singapore?
There's corporal punishment.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
And is it Ralph Fiennes? Is that who that guy is?
Oh, that is. Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes?
Yeah.
Rafe-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, but you like it. So you've seen every episode?
Yeah, I saw this whole season. I think I know what you're saying about the acting, and I think some of the acting is extreme, but they're also trying to, like, occupy this world where no one can really be themselves.
Right.
So I think that there is sort of, like, bad acting disguising good acting, if that makes sense. Because it's like there's a lot of stuff that just has to be unsaid and is just all
right.
Glances and stuff, which
I think it's going to unfold more I also felt the same. The Westworld, I just couldn't stand that show.
Westworld does have that sort of self-importance that I'm sure this is like the Nolan thing, you know, where like everything's like super
and it's
and heavy.
The flipping around of time and narrative and like voiceover and inner dialogue and then winks and nods and nudges, and it's like, Jesus Christ, okay, let's get some fucking story going on here, you know? Like I want the train to move.
Yeah, Westworld had like a nice bits of puzzle piece in them, but like that's like a big 10-hour commitment for anyone to just get through some puzzle piece. I mean, Ed Harris.
Very good
in that show.
Yeah, he's great.
Jeffrey Wright, very good.
Yeah.
Hopkins kind of just
Tony.
Doing what he does.
Tony doing Tony, baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a little digression.
just a tiny bit.
The documentary I did want to talk about.
Yes.
Oh, I also, did you watch the Westworld trailer for season 2?
No, I'm not interested.
You're not? You're out?
I'm out.
You're folding?
I gave him my time. Yeah, but let's.
Oh, I keep seeing audition things for Westworld.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, I can figure out what's happening based on the auditions they're asking for.
Right. That's funny.
Like,
welcome to Hollywood.
I only qualify for certain. Like, they need some Asians on this show.
Yeah.
It's like someone's got to be working these robots.
or laying train tracks.
Oh, God. Yeah, exactly. Oh, they didn't even get... That's a good point. I should have, like, just written that in. I'm like, I'm willing to wear that hat.
right.
And hammer some spikes.
That hat.
Oh, God. The true Manifest Destiny.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, I was going to talk about a documentary I did start watching. Red Pill, by the way, just like... for you, if you don't know what it's about, men's rights activists, a female filmmaker who just decides she's going to just, like, let him talk...
Mm.
And like, be like, I really want to understand what's going on with these guys, and it was interesting for the first 20 minutes because I'm like, what is the rhetoric of the men's rights movement? I don't actually understand. And then I listened to a lot of it. I'm just like, you kind of just have a. I mean, I feel like it's the main problem here is capitalism with a lot of this.
Yeah.
It's not exactly like women dominating you.
No.
We could get deeper into it, but I didn't want to.
Yeah.
It was like kind of shitty. I just watched American Anarchist.
Uh-huh.
Super interesting.
Right.
I think we have some. I got a friend who's friends with the director.
Oh, okay.
Who also worked on Finding Vivian Maya.
Oh, lovely.
It's Charlie Siskel.
Oh yeah, Charlie
who
Siskel.
Who was
I
like,
know that name.
He was he worked with Michael Moore a lot. He worked on Bowling for Columbine.
Right.
And so American Anarchist is about William Powell, who wrote the Anarchist Cookbook when he was like 19.
Oh, he was only 19?
And got it published. Jesus. Yeah. And yeah, he had like dropped out of school, was like living in New York, working in a bookstore, being the fucking countercultural dude. And so there is a lot of stuff that comes up in here because he, at the, they film this, he's like in his 60s. He lives in France. He kind of like willfully like did not investigate, like keep tabs, like did not have a Google alert for his own name.
Right.
Or for Anarchist Cookbook. So a lot of the film is the filmmaker just dropping stuff on him. Like, well, you know, the Columbine guys had your book.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
And oh, and these ISIS people had your book.
Right.
So it's just like kind of like seeing this kind of sad, right, you know, yeah, middle-aged hippie.
Right.
Or like late middle-aged hippie just be confronted. It reminded me of Weather Underground.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
Which you could kind of see similar sure, themes sure, from Weather Underground. Yeah. And a similar kind of like, just like, was this the right methodology?
Right.
But the big difference being people in the Weather Underground did the shit.
Yeah, they did the shit for sure.
He just created like the template.
Right. A little manifesto.
The stuff. Yeah, like, and like, it was like information. He's like, I got all this information from the New York Public Library.
Right.
From like these pamphlets that the government gave to the military.
Exactly.
That is available to
everybody
publicly.
Yeah.
He basically just like did like the creepy trench coat Wikipedia search,
right,
of like 1972.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what he kind of did.
It reminds me, every time someone mentions that book, I think of the anarchist bookstore that's just by my house here in the Haight. Have you ever been in there?
I've been inside that place, but like I never want to buy anything.
It's the weirdest, creepiest place. And apparently none of those people get paid either, the employees.
Oh, it's like commune style, or it's like, yeah,
it's like volunteer
style,
yeah.
That places like that exist to have meetings. For
yes,
other
they
things.
Do. That's true.
Oh yeah, no, like I knew all these bookstores. I think there maybe is a bookstore like that still in Berkeley.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like in the parking lot in this parking, right, complex, where it's just like I never see anyone buy anything unless like someone needs it,
yeah,
for a class or something like that. It's where you get all the newspapers that people are trying,
exactly,
to sell you in the street. But it didn't really, doesn't this film and this conversation, I don't get deep into like anarchist stuff. I'm not like super knowledgeable, uh-huh, about anarchism as a practice. I know people that are like deep into it, and it's like, I know that they're smart people and there's different, mm-hmm, ways to think about it. And, Anarchist Cookbook doesn't even seem to really ally with anarchism in a traditional sense at all. But it's also just like a sad thing about like an old man just being like confronted with like, okay, do you feel like you are responsible,
right,
for this, some of the stuff? And I got to say, they kind of did him kind of,
right,
dirty, I think. They kind of like came at him with like, mm-hmm, a lot. And if you watch this film, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Tell us what
matter
you think.
Matter of fact, record yourself on your phone and email it to us if you want. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. We got a new segment. Listeners will send us, we've had a couple of them,
yeah,
come through. Listeners, just send us like reviews. Just this, the thing you do, what the show is sort of based on, right? It's like trying to get someone to watch something,
yeah,
you just watched. You know, whatever you would do, however you would pitch that to a friend. Just
next,
send
like
us
when you're
one
at
those.
A party and someone's like, what have you been up to? You're like, dude, I just watched this fucking amazing documentary. They're like, oh, what is it? That's what we want to hear. You tell us why it was amazing, or even, mm-hmm, if it sucked or whatever, and you can email it to us, supdocpodcast@gmail.com. Just do it on your phone. Send us, and we'll put it in our next What's Up episode.
Yeah. And I feel like we could probably get Charlie Siskel to come on the,
yeah,
show, because we've talked,
yeah,
about Vivian Meyer. We've got a mutual friend. So I might try to reach out to him and see what's up.
Yeah, so, and also, got any kind of support you could have, especially financial, would help us out a great deal. We have a Patreon page. If you're not familiar with Patreon, it's a way for people to support people like ourselves, artists, creative types, that do this work for free. We volunteer, and any little support could help. You go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/supdocpodcast.
Yeah, you get a lot.
Even a buck a month.
You get a lot.
Yeah, you do.
For like, we have like little exclusive things for Patreon people. You get like little knickknacks. It's,
mm-hmm,
and Yeah. I mean, I support other people on Patreon. So, yeah. You know,
awesome.
It's definitely...
Go to our Patreon page.
Yeah, go to that. We're going to probably, you know, we like to do excerpts from interviews on there. And I have my recording is up there, a comedy recording.
Yeah.
So all that stuff's up there.
Awesome. Do you have any shows coming up?
I think the day this drops, I'll be at Barney's Beanery.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Melissa McQueen. Letting me do her show in Pasadena.
Such a great show. It's so much fun. It's free. It's upstairs. Barney's Beanery is crazy. It's fun.
It's coffee shop. Fun. I take it. Not
no,
kidney
it's a
beans.
Bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Beanery
it's a full-fledged,
is confusing then. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That is true. But it's fun. And there's a few of them. I think there's a few Barney's Beanery. There's one in Santa Monica, Pasadena. That's cool. I've got a slew of stuff happening in August. Which is nice. I got a bunch of shows. I've been kind of dormant for a while, so I went out and people have been booking me because I want to work on a new 45-minute set. So I'm doing like Best of San Francisco on August 4th.
I've heard great things about that show.
It's a fun show. It's a really fun show. Absolutely. And then doing Cheaper Than Therapy at the Shelton. And then I got a bunch of shows coming up. And then Esther Koo's coming into town. It's going to be cool. I'm going to hang out. Hopefully go see Joey Diaz at the Punchline.
Oh, is she working with Joey?
I think so. I'm not sure. She's in town for some reason. I thought maybe that was why. But yeah, you know, I'm really excited. I got tickets to see Mike Birbiglia's one-man show.
Oh, yeah, The Berkeley rep. Yeah.
Yep, the Berkeley rep. So that should be fun. So if you're out and about, but you know, if you like our podcast, which is probably why you're listening to this, just tell your friends about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say like with the Patreon thing, like let's say you can't do Patreon, you know, what you could do is write a review for us.
On
iTunes,
dude, that would be awesome. Absolutely, or
those
remix our theme song or whatever. Yeah, help us out.
Yeah.
Be a part of our show.
Reviews, ratings on iTunes help a lot. I want to get more people outside of the U.S. to do it. I want some people from Canada and the U.K. to do it because I think our U.K. is our next biggest country.
They love us,
you'd think
mate.
It would be Canada, but it's actually the U.K. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all our U.K. listeners and Australia and Denmark.
Canada, get it together.
But Canada, get your shit together. You and your poteen, put that shit down. I think we're at the end.
You know what?
Right?
I agree.
Doesn't it
I
feel
agree.
Feels like an end right here? So
it does indeed.
Sayonara. Bye bye. Konnichiwa. Afiatasen.
Very Westworld. All right.
Oh. Right. Is that what
the Samurai World? Goodbye.